Today's news also has big implications for the airline industry at a point when some airlines were finally starting to show a profit and recover from 9/11. For more on what this latest terrorist threat means for the airlines, we go to George Novak, an aviation consultant with Innova Aviation Consulting. He is also a former Federal Aviation Administration attorney, and he's with me here in Studio 3A. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Well, one early indication of what this might mean for the industry, the airline stocks dropped today.
Yes, they did. They dropped rather precipitously this morning. And I think we're going to probably see a little bit of that, but I think you'll see some re-entry into the market today with some investors picking them up at what they believe to be the low point.
What does this mean for business, for the airline business right now?
It's bad news at a time when they were really looking forward to good news. They just finished an outstanding summer season, a reservation season, which they're wrapping up right now. They're enjoying good revenues. A couple of the air carriers have reported their first profits in many years. And so this was a season of good news for them. What they did not need was anything which would discourage passengers from getting on board those aircraft. They need the revenue, and any bad news is terribly bad news for the airlines.
And we've been talking about some of these security restrictions as possibly being only temporary, but how does this sort of ricochet down into the future for the industry?
I think if passengers believe that it's going to be too much of a hassle to travel, if they're going to have to not take their overnight bags, not take their carry-on bags, which they can travel on without having to check luggage, they're going to look at alternative means of transportation, particularly for short-haul routes, as Scott mentioned. So that could be bad news for the air carriers. Also, people have gotten used to carrying bags on board in case of lost luggage, which happens frequently. And any restrictions on that, restrictions on what they can carry, they're going to think twice about travel. And again, that's bad news for the industry.
Yeah. And what will the airlines be doing to try and adapt to this? I mean, I can't help thinking as a passenger, you can't bring water on board. And yet we know that the airlines have been cutting back on serving anything to people. Do you think that one response might be to provide beverages, water, Again, provide that more regularly for people?
I think you'll see that. Now, given the history of the airlines, we may see it at a cost. You may see more drinks available, more service available, but at a price to the passengers, either built into the tickets or charging them for specific amenities on board the aircraft.
Let's see if we can take a call now. We're going to go to Mark. He's calling from Indiana. Hi, Mark.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead, Mark.
Hi. Yeah. I just wanted to follow what the other caller said. Is that you know, getting from one destination to another safely is the best thing possible. I'll throw my shoes out the window, but I guess what really is frustrating is that we have spent billions and billions of dollars building these detectors to pick up these explosives. Now all of a sudden we can't pick up a liquid explosive. I don't understand why we haven't thought that through.
Is that something that that you can respond to?
I can. One of the things is the system is designed primarily to look right now for plastic explosives, the C4s and the Semtec explosives. It will detect the vapor detection devices, the explosive detection devices will detect liquid explosives. However, not every bag can be screened with that level of scrutiny. Therefore, both UK and FAA officials, or UK and US officials, have decided the easiest way to keep the system moving as of right now, as of today, is to ban liquids from the aircraft. There are systems in place which can detect these explosives, but it is a difficult and very, very time-consuming process. So right now, the best way to keep traffic moving is to prohibit any liquids from the aircraft.
And that's my thought also is. You know, we've got to invest this technology that we have to stay ahead of these horrible terrorists that are trying to kill us. And if we keep our traffic moving, we're going to keep the airline traffic going also.
All right. Thanks so much for your call. Now, George, the industry's been concerned about this threat of liquid explosives for some time, haven't they?
Yes, we've known about the threat certainly for more than 20 years. And there are incidents in with a Korean airliner in 1987, a Philippine airliner in 1994, and a raid on the apartment of Ramzi Youssef in the Philippines, where we discovered a plot very similar to this one to bring down 11 U.S. air carriers over the Pacific Again, that was planned for 1995.
Yeah. We have an email here. What is the status of carrying computers, cell phones, electronic tools for diagnosing electric use, kilowatt hour meters, etc.? Some are too delicate to put into checked baggage. That's from Rana in Wisconsin. Any restrictions on that as far as you know?
From the UK, there are. Right now, if you're leaving or entering the UK, you cannot carry any electronic devices, whether it be an iPod, a laptop computer, anything. Now, in the U.S., that is not completely restricted right now, but they're going to be coordinating with the U.K. officials. I think intelligence that's garnered from these recent arrests may change that. Just may change that in the United States. Right now, you are allowed. They're going to undergo serious scrutiny, and use of those may be restricted further on board aircraft.
We are talking about terrorism and travel plans. The number here is 800-989-8255. My guest is George Novak, aviation consultant with Inova Aviation Consulting, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We were talking earlier with Scott McCartney from the Wall Street Journal, and he seemed to feel that the restrictions that we're talking about today are short-term restrictions. Is that your sense, or could we be entering a new era of not carrying any liquids on and perhaps even not carrying shoulder bags on?
I think Scott's right in the sense that they are short-term restrictions until they become long-term restrictions. So we'll wait and see. I think intelligence from the UK is going to probably drive what the United States does and how carry-on and other items are restricted in the U.S. Right now, I would say for the foreseeable future, plan on not carrying any liquids, creams, or gels on board or on your carry-on baggage. It could continue for quite some time. It could continue until the technology catches up or until there's a level of confidence that this threat has passed, and that could be quite some time.
Why not just ban carry-on luggage? You know, it is an option. It also might make travel a little faster.
It could, except that...
except on the other end of the baggage claim. Right.
The baggage claim would become a nightmare.
Right.
And also, the aircraft themselves really are not designed to carry three bags per person in their belly as checked baggage. The system is really dependent upon passengers carrying some of that baggage, putting it in overhead bins and underneath the seats in front of them.
Yeah.
So the system's really designed that way. It would require a substantial change in baggage handling and an aircraft capacity to affect that for a full-time solution.
Now, I imagine that today there's a lot of there's some canceled flights clearly out of Heathrow, many delays. What is the airline's responsibility toward the passenger in this case? Will people get refunds if they're missing connecting flights, or if a flight's been canceled as a result of this?
I would not depend upon a refund because the language is broad enough.
I was hoping. Why did I even ask that question? But
the contractual language certainly is broad enough for the air carrier to provide alternative transportation, and in this case, that means within a reasonable time. Given that this is an act of terrorism or caused by a potential act of terrorism, they most likely will be only providing transportation as soon as possible to onward points, and I think they'll be as accommodating as possible. But I don't foresee the air carriers issuing a lot of checks, a lot of vouchers for overnight stays or for damages from missed flights.
Yeah. Looking down the road for airlines, we were talking about the fact that people might, at least for short flights, might decide to drive, might decide to take a train, although certainly there are security issues on trains as well. We all know that. But would you say that the airlines are more flexible now since 9/11, that they possibly can respond to this better than they did right after 9/11 when it really had such a difficult impact on them?
I think they can respond because when 9/11 happened, they were responsible for security. And now their primary responsibility is getting the passengers from one place to another. And the TSA, at least in the United States, focuses on the security aspects of it. So they're able to focus more on the logistics of getting passengers from one place to another. They are more adaptable. They were prepared for the next attack. And unfortunately, since 9/11, they've really just been waiting for the day when something happened. Now, fortunately, this was a thwarted attack, but it certainly has broad implications for their operations.
Okay, what about airport vendors? We were talking earlier about the fact that no duty-free liquor or perfumes are being sold. I mean, I wonder if this is going to affect airports themselves.
Severe blow to airport vendors and the airports, which themselves get a portion of their income from the sales of those vendors at the airports. And liquid sales, whether it be coffee, from a Starbucks shop or liquor from the duty-free shop is a source of revenue and jobs at the airport. So severe blow to the economy of airport vendors and ultimately the airports themselves.
You know, we've heard over the hour talking to a couple of people who've called in, talking with some of the people at the airports, talking with Scott McCartney, that people are getting used to this kind of thing. Are the airports looking at just how much, you know, what the end of that patience might be? Is there that there might be an end to the passengers' patience with these kinds of security measures, even though, of course, they want to be safe, that at some point they're just going to get fed up?
I think particularly in the United States, we've seen a very short memory, a collective memory among passengers. Right after 9/11, you could have told passengers to take off all their clothes and hop on the flight. That's the only way to be safe. They would have done it.
Right.
I think right today, people are saying it's no problem getting rid of my contact lens solution, my makeup, my bottled water. Weeks from now, when they believe the threat has passed, their patience wears thin, and that's felt by the screeners. It's felt by the airlines, and so I would say the patience is it will wane as time goes on, and I don't think we can expect it to last for very long.
All right, George, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Lynn.
George Novak is an aviation consultant with Inova Aviation Consulting and a former Federal Aviation Administration attorney. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.